Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now, lads, if you're struggling to get a decent night's sleep at the moment, you are not alone. Pandemic-related sleep issues have actually surged. So with that in mind, we really wanted to spend a bit of time this morning chatting about our sleep and how we can improve it. I'm so happy and delighted to be joined on the line by Dr. Dearan O'Leary, who's a very busy woman. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you, Dearan?
I'm good, Jen. Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be able to chat to you today about this really important topic.
Yes. So is pandemic insomnia a real issue for people in your experience?
It is. It's just difficulty sleeping, difficulty getting to sleep, or then overnight waking, not getting a good quality night's sleep. And it is quite common. And I think it's worse this time around because people are stuck indoors, I think, a lot more during this lockdown than previous lockdowns. So people are stuck indoors. It's artificial light all day, stuck at the desk, maybe not getting outdoors, not seeing daylight, and not being able to get any exercise, and that's having a real impact on people's quality of sleep.
So the change of schedule is a big part to play in all of this.
That's huge, and that's really, really important. So their sleep schedule and going to bed at the same time every morning and getting up at the getting up at the same time every morning, going to bed at the same time every evening.
Yeah.
That's a really important part. That's rule number one of sleep hygiene. Sleep hygiene is things we do to make sure that we get a good night's sleep, and schedule is rule number one. Now, schedule is, you know, is kind of got out the window a little bit, or people's schedules are changing, you know, different work patterns are changing, so, and people are tending to stay up later at night or maybe get up later in the morning, so the schedule has gone out the window for a lot of people. And there's a really, for getting a good night's sleep, it's so important, that schedule, because there's a part of our brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, and that has in it our circadian rhythm, or our body clock. So your body has a natural body clock, and for that to really function properly, you need to, you know, get outdoors, see the daylight at some point, so that your body recognizes the difference between day and night. But if you're inside all day with artificial light, and you really don't know that, your body won't be able to recognize day versus night. So it's really important to try to get outdoors, try to see some daylight, even if the weather is terrible, getting outdoors and keeping a schedule as best you can, because that does help with sleep quality.
How much sleep is actually needed?
Varies from person to person, and some people will only need about six and they're absolutely fine. 6 hours sleep, they're fine. Some people then need up to about 10. That's less common, but you know, it can vary from person to person, and it can vary, you know, depending on energy levels or what you're doing that day, you know, how much rest and sleep that you need to recover and repair after that day. So the definition really of a good night's sleep is that you wake up feeling refreshed and you're alert throughout the day, even if you're doing a monotonous task, and you're alert and you don't fall asleep during that. So that varies from person to person and might vary from time to time. Even, you know, say some nights you might be fine after 6 hours, or some days you might need 10, but waking up feeling refreshed is the definition of a good night's sleep.
So between 6 and 10 hours, roughly, if you're going to put a time on it, would you say that for any individual that they should be getting at least six?
I think six is very low. I think seven or eight is probably a good
optimal.
Is optimal, because look, 10 is a lot, and I think nobody's going to get very much done during the working week, and people are busy. 10 hours is probably a bit unrealistic for most people. 6, I think, is very little. But look, if you're waking up feeling refreshed, that's the main thing. So just do whatever you need to do. But I think anything less than 7 is a bit low.
J-Lo said recently she gets about 10 hours kip every night. I was wondering, is that why she looks so good?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, that's her secret.
How do you feel about naps?
Naps are okay. I wish I could nap, actually, because I can't, but some people can. If they don't disrupt your sleep schedule, they're actually fine. So the advice about naps is, if you want to nap and you can nap for less than 20 minutes, that's okay. And if they don't disrupt your sleep schedule, if you take a nap in the afternoon, but then that causes you to go to sleep later that night, that's not a good idea. That's bad sleep hygiene. You shouldn't do it. But if you can take a nap, that's about 20 minutes, you wake up feeling refreshed, and then you still go to bed at the same time that night, they're absolutely fine.
What about catching up on sleep? We all try and do that on the weekend or whatever. Is that possible?
Look, I think that that's reasonable. I mean, very strictly speaking, scientifically speaking, you're meant to keep that schedule even throughout the weekend. But look, people are tired. And I think if you are tired and you do need that bit of rest in the morning on a Saturday, and you can take it and you can take a bit of a sleep in, you should take it, because that extra bit of rest will be good for, you know, energy conservation and that, you know, restoring and repairing of the cells in your body. So strictly speaking, they say no, you should be getting up at the same time every day. But if you need a bit of an extra bit of rest, I think that's reasonable.
This is funny, because I need to talk to you about dreams, because I've been having mental dreams as of late. Is there any scientific reason for that? Is it something I'm eating? Is it stress? People just seem to be having mad dreams lately.
I'm not sure of the science behind dreams, but I think, you know, we are very stressed at the moment, and there is a constant low level of stress, even if we're kind of aware of it or not. And think sometimes as well, what's going on in our subconscious comes up through our dreams at nighttime, and kind of get more vivid dreams. And we are vivid dreaming is during REM sleep. And stress, you know, can manifest itself by just more vivid dreams. But I'm not quite sure why that's happening more during lockdown. And that is something that people are saying as well. But possibly, I think, maybe just because there's a low level of stress, I think, whether we all know it or not, the uncertainty, we don't really know what's going to happen for the rest of the year. When will we come out of lockdown? When will things get normal again? So even if we're kind of putting our best foot forward and, you know, not trying to be too stressed about it, I think on some subconscious level, we are all, you know, stressed in some way about it.
Even subconsciously. Finally, if you had to pick one thing, Dearen, that we should all try and incorporate into our lives today to improve our sleep, what would you say?
That's a difficult question.
Three things then.
Okay, thank you. Actually, you know, if I had to choose one, actually, I would say getting outdoors for a walk, actually, because that's the one thing that people actually are not doing. Because if I have somebody who's having difficulty with sleep and they're not getting exercise and not getting outdoors, and they say, well, I can't go out, the weather is brutal. Do you know what? Just get out. Just get a coat.
It's the light, is it? That daylight.
Exactly. It's the daylight and it's the exercise as well. So you're getting two benefits of that. And cold weather isn't bad for you. Cold weather doesn't cause you to catch a cold. So I think actually, if there was one piece of advice, get out every day, even if it's just a walk, and just put on a coat, put on an appropriate pair of shoes, get yourself out the door. And if it's 20 minutes, you'll get some exercise, you'll see the daylight. Getting outside is actually really important. Then two other things, I'd say just restrict your caffeine intake. So just watching out for tea, coffee, Coke, Diet Coke, green tea, what else? Oh, screen time as well. So just staying away from artificial light, blue light, laptops, phones. Now, if you do have to use them, because, you know, sometimes you do have to be online for some people for their work, you can just change to the nightlight setting. There's lovely nightlight settings on phones and laptops, and use dim lights as well coming up to bedtime. So from about 6 p.m., just using side lights or dim lights.
6 p.m.?
That's what I do in my house anyway. Just keeping things, it varies and it depends from person to person how sensitive you are. But I go for side lights and dim lights on my devices and laptop from about 6 p.m. Yeah.
I just got a text in. Maybe you can help. This texter says, I have a friend going to bed at 11. They're not getting up till about 12 p.m. the next day, napping at 3, and they are 5 stone overweight. Could the weight be an issue?
It's probably sleep deprivation and poor sleep quality is associated with weight gain, obesity and type 2 diabetes, because as poor sleep quality or sleep deprivation actually increases our hunger hormone ghrelin and decreases our satiety hormone that lets you know that you're full and that you don't need to eat anymore. It decreases leptin. So there is an association between poor sleep and weight gain. So, you know, that person needs to try to just get back into a good sleep sleep cycle and a rhythm and schedule. And actually a good tip as well for people who are having difficulty with sleeping, and really if they're doing all of the good things and all of the sleep hygiene measures, and you know, they're getting exercise, they're avoiding bright lights, they're avoiding coffee, cognitive behavioral therapy actually as well is proven to help with improving sleep quality. So you could look into CBT as well as a way of getting out of that bad sleep cycle.
Okay, and how do you start CBT?
You can, I suppose you can look up somebody who is a CBT or who does CBT.
Okay.
You can ask your GP to recommend somebody. And there are, you know, dedicated CBT therapists dedicated to sleep. So you can look them up or just ask your GP if they can recommend anybody for you.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot about CBT and the benefits of it. I don't really know what. So what kind of therapy is involved? Is it talk therapy?
It's not talk therapy. I don't exactly know. I don't do it myself, but it's about changing the patterns of how you think. I think I'm not an expert, but it's about recognizing thought patterns and changing those thought patterns.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, but I do know that it is very beneficial
For sleep deprivation. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Darren, listen, thank you so much for taking our call. You're an absolute star. How are things in the clinic?
It's busy. It's between COVID-19, catching up on the work, I suppose, because we, you know, there was a time there where things were very, very quiet last year, you know, March, April, catching up from that kind of lockdown, the vaccines, the continued COVID work. So it's busy, but
there's a lot going on. There's a lot. Well, I hope you get a good night's sleep because you need it. There we go. Thanks, Dr. Dearen O'Leary. She's also on Instagram, where she always gives great tips and tricks on how to sleep better. You can follow her on Instagram at Dr. Dearen O'Leary. We'll be back right after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.